HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Mishpat dictates that he made the decision, so now HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Mishpat dictates that he should be able to have the opportunity, that's Mishpat, to exercise and then to realize what he's trying to do. Same thing is true on the side of the Russia. Exactly, because Mishpat is justice. The Russia made a determination to do evil. It would be unfair if he were thrown over because of extraneous events from exercising and realizing his decision. That's Mishpat. And that's exactly what Chazal is saying. That's what it means. Mishalim l'sono l'opanu l'avido. It's a part of Kol Derech of Mishpat. But it's not a tarti de sasri to the pasuk of or because that has to do with he himself internally. Okay, internally. But what the Chazal is saying is that just the Olam Kimin Hago Noah, two things. The Olam Kimin Hago Nohe is not enough for justice, because a person can decide he wants to be a tzaddik, he wants to pursue chachma, but he won't meet anybody that's a chacham. So what good is his decision? So there we say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu intervenes, it wouldn't be enough if we were just left to the natural law. But Derech Shadam Ratz Lech Malichin also. Things happen that allow the person, help him on his course. That is justice. And the same thing is true in the negative, insofar as the Rosh is concerned, that justice demands that if the Rosh, once he makes his determination to be a Rosh, okay, it would not be just if the natural order would knock him over and interfere with his bechira and cause him to become a tzaddik. That wouldn't be just. He made his decision, so now on the contrary, the natural law is overturned in order to allow him to exercise and to realize his rishus. That's the system of bechira. That's God's mishpat. That's the system of bechira. If you understand, in other words, the good, the adyom osa techakalo has to be from himself, he himself, not from God. Otherwise, God would make an ace every morning and everybody would be tzaddik. That's not God's plan. I mean, that's not God's chachma. You understand? That's the concept. Yeah. Okay. So basically, what the Ramban is saying, I mean, the main idea, and what we did last time was, the Ramban is saying that in order to understand the Mishpat Hashem, so one must take into consideration the full picture. You can't just isolate one case and ask where is Mishpat, but you have to take a look at everything that you have before you. And that's why he quoted the Rambam, because he says mostly what you have before you is, in general, you have a life of opportunity where a person has the opportunity to really, on the whole, to live a life in which he can achieve tremendous level of human existence, and most people simply throw it away and then they complain. So he says once you do that, so then you're distorting the picture. In other words, you have to look at the whole picture. And if in general we see Chesed Hashem in the way everything is constructed, and in general that's the picture, so this really shows you, it really places you in a certain position insofar as appreciation of Chesed Hashem and his Mishpat. So that's the Dover HaNigla. But once you distort the Dover HaNigla, in other words, most people's complaints in life is because they distort that which they have before them, and they cause their own problems most of the time. 99% of the time it's their own problems, and then they complain about the one case. How could it be that actually what most people do is they look for the one case in order to support their general complaints? That's basically the way it is. But if a person would have a true knowledge of life and the proper way of life, and see how God gives man the opportunity on the whole to live a wonderful life, then he'd be osir todah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He'd have to be makir tov, and it will place him in a different relationship with regard to his creator. That's really that's why this is extremely important. Now, as Ramban says, that you cannot go into the Ramban, it's Ramban the Mora too, that you cannot go into the investigation of Mishpat Hashem if you obliterate the main picture. The main picture you can. If you obliterate the main picture, then of course, and that's what most people do. They just obliterate the main picture, and they cause their own problems, and because of that, they have complaints, and then they point to the one case that's inexplicable and say, "See, oh, there's no justice." That's really what the Ramban is saying in the Ramban, and that method is a false method. Method is a false method. Okay. Yeah. There are two points that I want to mention. And it's basically an extension of this idea. And that is that the system, the greatest Chesed Hashem, of course, is that he gave us the Torah. That he gave us a Derech HaChaim. I mean, he gave us a way of life, which, if you follow that Derech HaChaim, gives a person the ultimate benefit of benefits of human existence, and a life of satisfaction and a very enjoyable life, and one that a person would not in any way complain about. So the greatest Chesed Hashem is simply the fact that Shabbat Rabbanu Kolam Raslan Astarosa Shanaslan Tarasemas Vachayel Natavasachino. So therefore, if a person has a misunderstanding with regard to this system, it's not possible for him to really have an existence that has any value. Right? A mistake in that area is detrimental. And I think that the people usually make one serious error, and that is that they think that they could fulfill parts of the Torah and yet expect to have the benefits of Torah. And such a thing is not possible. Because the Torah is a unified system. And in a unified system, the moment you distort it and you take away the whole essence of what the message of the Torah is, so then, I mean, you can keep the details, but it's not going to help you. It's not going to be able to be beneficial. And I think there's one principle that is extremely important, and it's really a principle of it's a principle of Kol HaTorah Kulo. In other words, you cannot take part of the advice of the Torah and expect to reap the benefits. The principle is mentioned by the Mesillas Yesharim mentions it in the area of the Inyan Aprishus, okay, the Inyan Aprishus, where he raises the question that you find. Do we have Mesillas Yesharim? Yeah. So in Perek Gimel in the Mesillas Yesharim, so he says like this. Now, this is probably the most theoretical part of the Mesillas Yesharim, even though he said he didn't write the Sefer for theoretical purposes. He says like this. He says, "V'inei klal aprishusu ma'asham rizal kadesh atzmacha b'mutalach." That a person should make himself holy by abstaining from things that are permissible for him. V'zosi ha'rosa shel hamila atzma prishus. That's what it means. A person should separate himself from something which is totally permissible. Okay. V'hainu she'osra al'atzmo dvar heter. V'hakavona bozeh. Okay. And then he goes on and says like this. Yeah. Now he says like this. He says, the only thing is, you ask a question, you say, how do you know that you can do this? You're not allowed to be Moshev on the Torah. And he says, and there are many chazal that support this. Lo dayach ma'asha'os ha-Torah. El sha'ata bo lesa olecha dvar macherim. All right, so you're not allowed to do that. he says, so we should say that whatever the chachmei chachomim asr, they asr. And beyond that, we have no right to asr. Okay, as a matter of fact, on Kadesh Atzmacha B'Mutalach, so Chazal say, it's speaking about if you come to a place where they know a good Yisr, So bedavar, and they're justified. So even though you're not from, so you should go along with it. However, if it's a mistake, you're not allowed to. Because on the contrary, I mean, you're not allowed to ask the things that are mutter. Like my brother told me recently, he says in many Yerushalayim that by a chasana, so they only have one kli nigla. Only drums. So only in only it's only drums. So anyways, because they have this because in Yerushalayim that was a lot. So my brother's looking around, couldn't find any source for it. And so he went to Shlomo Fisher. So Shlomo Fisher says, absolutely no source for it. As a matter of fact, it's awesome. He says, because there's a chiv to misameh chos in the kala, and you're not fulfilling that chiv. So you have to be careful, you know what I mean? You could be over averas with chumras. It means a chiv to misameh chos in the kala, you're not allowed to minimize it. You have to be very careful in the system what you're doing. You have to use sechel. That's like Kaddish Hashem Mutalach in a place where there's no Ganissa, but the Issa is based on nothing. It's nonsense. You're not allowed to do it. Okay. So then he says like this. He says, and the Chazal says, a famous Yerushalmi says, She'osir otam adam liten din lefnei amakam akom asheru eino v'lo ratzel lechol mimeno. He's going to chayef to answer before God everything that he could have eaten and could have enjoyed, and he didn't do it. He says, and they based it on a pasuk, v'chol asher sholu einai lo atzalti mehem. So they're saying that's what Shlomo Melech is saying. All right. So he says like this. So he says, but on the other hand, you have other chazal. Chazal say kol yosher b'tainis nikra kodesh, kal v'chol mi nazir. Okay. And then Tzadik Ochel Sovanafsho, the Pasuk, Tzadik Ochel Sovanafsho, is another Pasuk in Kehelis, right? Is it Kehelis or Mishnah? Zechisk Yom Al Chiyud, Omer Lov Shishtea Gudas Shel Yorik, Velitra Shel Basa Yamal Lefonu Bechol Yom. So he had a very small meal. Vo Yisro Maligin Vomrim Zem Melach. Yeah. Okay. And then the Gemara says, by Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Che Bishas Misoso Zokaf Eser Etzpaos of Omar. Okay, I didn't even have this much enjoyment out of this world. So, and other chazal that Adshadam Espal al Divrei Torah Sheichnasu B'soch Meyav Yispal al Chilush Siyah Shalom Yikonsu B'soch Meyav. So he says that on the contrary, so you see these chazal that contradict the other chazal. Correct? Okay, so he says basically, he answers that you have to draw the line by the case of whatever a person needs, whatever is necessary for the person in Avodas Hashem. That's where the person has to draw the line. But you have to understand, of course, there's two frameworks. One framework is the halachic framework. The halachic framework, you can't be mosif. If you're mosif, halachic framework, you're over on Lo Sasif al Adavar. But insofar as the personal, insofar as perfection is concerned, that is something which the Torah left up to the individual. And basically, that's really the Ramban and Kedoshim to you. What's the main idea of the Ramban and Kedoshim to you? The Ramban and Kedoshim to you says that the... Where's the Ramban? He says, because the Torah gave various Isurim, okay... But certain things the Torah didn't do. The Torah didn't answer how much sex a person, limit the amount of sex a person could have, b'derecheta, or how much wine he could drink. How much he could waste his time with varm b'telim or other things. So he says that the... So it says that's really the idea of kedoshim to you. Yafresh atzmo, he says he's mechuyif mafresh himself from all these things that are mutter. He says shelo is harnu many things that we weren't that the Torah didn't aser, and that's why chachamah called purshim, because they washed themselves in all the various areas of perfection, whether it's dibor or bia or all the areas a person has to mekadosh himself. Okay, basically, what is the Ramban? He says, Yeah. V'chein derech haTorah lifrot v'lichlo b'kiyotze bozeh. Ki achrei hazahora protei adinim v'chol maso matin shebein odom lo tignovo v'lo sigzo v'lo sonu u'shor hazahoros omo b'chlal v'sisa yeshva tov. Sheyachnis ba'asei ha'yosher v'ashvoya. V'chol lifnim mishiros adin l'rotzon chaverov kasher farish be'gilim l'mekomo v'rotzon ha'kosh baruch hu. Okay, so he says that that's the derech haTorah is that first the Torah gives you the specifics on the Yisurim, and then it, but then really what it's striving for is Vosisa Yashva Tov. So Lo Tignovu is an Issa, is a formal Issa. But really, after that, if the Torah gives you all these Yisurim, you shouldn't cheat, you shouldn't steal, you should all these, it says Vosisa Yashva Tov, which is even Lefnim Mishra Sadin, more. So the Ramban says that what is Ramban saying? Basically, Ramban is saying that there is an idea that people have that is completely false. Namely, that a person will be zocha to olam haba, a person will be zocha to the good through simply digduke ha-mitzvahs. That's what most people think. Most people think that how am I zocha to chai olam haba? If I keep all the digduke ha-mitzvahs, then I'll be zocha, then God will repay me and I'll be zocha to chai olam haba. That is a notion that most people have. It's really a primitive notion. It's an idea as if I do all I have to do, in other words, the person is trying to achieve and to attain what everybody else is after, basically, and they feel the way that they can do it. The Torah gave them a blueprint on how to accomplish this. How do you accomplish it? God just wants you to do all these things. Tayag mitzvah. You do these things, and then you'll get whatever you want. So basically what the Ramban says is that is erroneous. In other words, as if in the performance of individual mitzvahs, there's some kind of a magic that these performances are going to give you the good. You see, that's basically what the Ramban says. That kedoshim tiyu comes to override, to outrule that concept. Kedoshim tiyu really tells you that all these halachas have one objective, and the objective is the perfection of a human being. So a person can't say, I'll be Mekayim lo sonuish, samisa lo tignovu, and lo sishav v'shmila shaker, and all those mitzvahs, and that's going to be the magic that's going to give me the good. God gave me the formula, all I have to do is follow this formula, and I'll attain the good. Ramban says that notion is false. That's the notion most people have. If I daven, I do this, I do that. They try to find the good in the formulas of the digduke ha-mitzvahs. Ramban says that's what kedoshim to you tells you that's not true. That is not the objective of the Torah, nor does that method work. The objective of the Torah is that the mitzvahs, we must do every mitzvah. We must be medaktek in every mitzvah. But the mitzvahs have an objective, and the objective is the perfection of the human being. So if a person is mekayim lo tignovu, mekayim all the halachas kechut ha-saira, but he doesn't reach a level of loving the yosher and the tov, of having an ava and a she'ifa to the asiyasa yosher v'tov, then he missed the point. So basically, that's really how the Ramban interprets. And therefore, the Ramban says a person can keep all the mitzvahs. He can abstain from chazer. He can be medakte kechut asayra when it comes to kashrus. He could do all these things, but these things themselves are not going to give him olam haba. They're not going to give him the good. What's going to give him the good? If the idea behind the asiyas mitzvahs, where the objective of the asiyas mitzvahs is, if the objective is something that he realizes, of course you need the mitzvahs, but if the objective of the mitzvahs is realized, then the person has a claim and a right to the good life. But if he doesn't do that, if he just avoids it and just thinks that somehow magically these magical performances are going to give him the reward, he's on the wrong track. That's not what the Torah is about. And the pasuk in the Torah that explains this, according to Ramban, is really kedoshim to you. It's kedoshim to you. So therefore, the point is that if a person will say that he keeps the mitzvahs of Torah, but he doesn't follow the formula of the Torah, there's no way that he has a right to complain about his life. if he and say, where's the Chesed Hashem? Where's Kol Drachav Mishpat? Look, I followed the mitzvahs, I did this and that, and look what happened to me. You see, basically, that's Eev's taina. So the answer is that taina is wrong, because in that taina the person is under a misconception. And he thinks wrongly that this is a formula for gaining what you want by being medactic in all the asiyas and all the mitzvahs. Not true. Kedoshim Tia tells you that's not so. What is really the proper life? The proper life is to be in line and to partake and to participate in the objective of the Torah. And the objective of the Torah is Kedusha and Precious. Okay, and a certain type of lifestyle. That's really what the Torah didn't legislate that, but that's really the objective of the Torah. And unless the Torah is taken in its full context, you see, so a person has no right to say that, look, I did what God told me, and it didn't work out, because that's not what God told him. So therefore I say that there are many things in Chazal and in the Torah that are extremely important advice for the Derech HaChayim that people simply don't take, and because they don't take that advice, so their lives are wrecked, and then they say, look, I was a good Jew, I was Shomer Torah Mitzvos, how did this happen to me? One of the things, I would say the main thing is really what this Ramban points out, Kedoshim Tia, which means to say that a person's attitude towards the Yetzer Hara has got to be proper in order for a person to benefit in this existence. And that is that the person should not be fooled, you see, he should not be fooled by the instinctual demands and the instinctual promises of the instincts. It's a sheker, achein, the heavenly. If it's a lie, if he doesn't see through the lie, so then there's no way that he can attain perfection. It's virtually impossible. I mean, you see that I would say that most people, if you'd ask them, like, what is their underlying wish? I mean, what is their underlying wish? And we say somebody has $100 million, everybody's getting excited. So why is this tremendous excitement? Why? What is this excitement about? The excitement is about the underlying wish that everyone has, which flies in the face of fact. Namely, that if a person would be allowed freely to indulge in all his fantasies, that he would be a very fortunate person. That's the underlying assumption of man in this society. That if only I had the opportunity to indulge in all my fantasies freely without restriction, then I'd be a very happy person. That is the assumption. And that assumption is false. The assumption is based on a trick that the instinctual plays in the mind of a human being. The instinctual always makes a person feel if he has this taiva, he's going to be extremely happy and satisfied, and he's drawn in. But basically what he's drawn in is instead of being drawn into a world of pleasure and satisfaction, he's drawn into a world of greater and greater frustration. Greater and greater frustration. Because the satisfaction of the desire is very quick, and then the next desire builds up, and he doesn't see that he's getting drawn into a lifestyle in which his pleasures are waning, his desires are increasing, and the state of frustration and unhappiness is becoming greater and greater. And no matter how many times people will see it, they still will not believe it. It's an amazing thing. Because the instincts have such a powerful hold on a person. I mean, I understand that, you know, like Frank Sinatra just died, everybody's is mishabeach in his lifestyle. Yeah, but to me, a person that tried to commit suicide twice is not doesn't reflect an individual that's having a very good satisfaction and happiness in life. But basically, no matter what facts the individual will see, it won't help, because the power of the instinctual, the power of the Yetzer Hara is so great that the individual just pushes all the facts away You see, rather than change, or rather than see through the atzas yetzer hara, that's basically the fate of most people. Kedoshim Tiyu tells you that even if you kadesh atzmacha b'mutalach, what does it mean? That means that if a person really wants to live the derech ha'chaim of Torah, this is kedoshim Tiyu is not. Maybe it's true, only Yechidim fulfill it, but it's not meant for Yachid. I mean, it's Pasuk in the Torah for everybody. Mm-hmm. Okay? So what does the Pasuk say? The Pasuk is basically giving an individual tremendous advice. The advice is that before, even if you can afford it, even if you have the financial means, even if you can afford a better house, even if you can afford a better car, even if you can afford greater luxuries, that a person should think very carefully before he does satisfy these urges and these desires, because the path, that road is a road which is taking the individual away from the Derech HaTorah and away from Kedoshim Tiyu. And if a person follows that path and then he finds that living in that manner he's unhappy and dissatisfied and he complains, then the complaint is complete without justification. Because basically what he has done is he's gone against the central advice of what the Torah has given a human being. Namely, Kadesh Atzmacha B'Mutalach, which means, I know the Mesil Sharm goes on and tries to say what's wrong with it is because you'll fall into other Averis. It's more than just falling into other Averis. It's basically going into a lifestyle that is intrinsically unsatisfying. What a person should do is, Kadesh Atzmacha B'Mutalach, what does it mean? It doesn't mean to be an ascetic. I mean, in the Sil Sherm in the end, over there he says that, he explains, he says, Acha Precious Hara, he says there's an evil type of Precious, asceticism, who kederach haschalim, like the fools, asher lo dai she'enam lokchim in olam asher'en lahem hechrach bo. Not only do they not take what they need, and they torment themselves physically. And another gersa he has over there that's derech agoyim. There's different gersas. Like a derech agoyim. So that's asceticism. That is basically that's evil. Because there too, the individual is engaging in some kind of an egoistic satisfaction that they're righteous. Asceticism is a whole different evil, different kind of an evil. It's an evil where a person is catering to a certain type of a feeling, a religious feeling, which they gain satisfaction out of, and they thwart those things which are necessary for a human being, basically, in order to have this egoistic satisfaction. That is, it's a certain kind of, it's basically a chulei nefesh. But this type of precious is evil. But what type of precious is the correct precious? The correct precious is for a person to recognize and to assess and to evaluate in his own life where his satisfactions are, where he will gain, and where the investment of energy is good and where the investment of energy is evil. If a person has the opportunity to invest his energies, I say invest your energies means when a person indulges in following fantasy and illusion, that's a tremendous investment of energy. If a person is following the next taiva, his life is involved in thinking of what the next thing he's going to purchase, the next object he's going to be involved in satisfying his desires. I mean, this is an investment of energy. A person has to be shokel, has to weigh that against the energy being used in pursuing chokhmah and learning in Torah and pupul chaverim and being involved in the derech hachayim of Torah. And if a person doesn't weigh the benefits and even in terms of the olam hazeh, in terms of the enjoyments, he just follows, he's like a sus shatav amachama, I mean, he just follows the desires and the urges and that he has, and he doesn't He feels because he's shomer Torah mitzvahs, because he's keeping the halachas, because he keeps kashrus and keeps nidah and keeps all halachas, that this way is he's living the way that the Torah really wanted him to live. And then things don't work out. He has complaints. He has no right to complaints, basically. He has no right to complaints. Because this is an essential in the Derech HaTorah. It's an essential. Any person that defies this principle has no right to have any complaints. And on the contrary, a person that follows that principle and lives like a chacham, like the Rambam says in El Chasdeis, where he assesses and evaluates everything that he does to see whether it's worthwhile to pursue this taiva, or whether it's not, and he's able to deny it when his reason tells him that this is not the way to go. So a person that lives that way and lives as a chacham and invests his energies essentially in limud haTorah, I mean, in knowledge and pursuit of chachma, a person that lives that in that lifestyle, that person will have a great life. That person will have a beneficial existence. And a person who's under the sway of the emotions and the instincts and just follows because of his mind projects fantasies and illusions of happiness, which he follows, a person who does that is not living the Derech HaChaim et HaTorah, and all the mitzvahs that he does, all the benefits of the mitzvahs that he does are just being thwarted because he's forgetting the objective of all the mitzvahs. The mitzvahs have an objective, like the Ramban is saying in Kadosh and Tiyu. The mitzvahs and if the person isn't in line with the objective of the mitzvahs, the asiyas and mitzvahs is not a magical formula that a person puts on film that because he did this action, that somehow or other this magical activity is going to bring him to a good life. That's not really what the Torah is telling you. Yeah, if a person puts on tefillin and he recognizes the ideas and the concepts, and because of Anochas tefillin, his whole day is different, and he pursues Chochmas HaTorah, Yedias Hashem, then yes, then the person will have an unbelievably enjoyable existence and a life which with the greatest satisfaction. But if a person just does the action thinking that this action is somehow magically going to achieve for him a better state of existence, and he thwarts the goal and the whole objective of the Torah, there is no way that he could attain the life that the Torah really wants him to have, or is beneficial for man, or is enjoyable, or is worth living. That's really what the Torah says. Yeah. There's certain benefits. There are certain benefits that a person gains if he just follows the Derech HaTorah, even without the objective. There are certain benefits, but that is not really the life that the Torah really intended for man. It will not give him the essence of what God wanted to give him. And then he complains. Then if he complains to God, why he doesn't have a good life? The complaint is simply false and nonsensical, and it's his own doing. I mean, basically, that's what the Ramban is saying. That's what all the Chacham say. That's why the Chacham will call Prusha. If you don't have that principle, if you think that if you had just to give an example, I mean, there are many tithes that man has. I can't just sum up in one word. But whatever the fantasies of the individual are, if a person thinks that if he had the financial, I'm just speaking derech b'nei adam, the way most people think, that if they only had the financial means to satisfy every desire, that some great benefit would befall them. The truth of the matter is that most of the time, I say 99% of the time, that people have the opportunity, their lives are destroyed because of the opportunity. The opportunity gives them that precisely gives them the ability to pursue the fantasies and the illusions, and because of that, their life is destroyed. So they have no chachma, they have no Torah, they don't know what it means to enjoy learning, to enjoy chachma, to be nene from the true enjoyment, which is Yedias HaTorah, Yedias Hashem. That is gone out of their life, so they're missing the greatest enjoyment, the greatest happiness in life. If they didn't have this, that's why, what do Chazal say? Chazal say, Yizoru ba'aniyim shemehem teitzei Torah. That the ani in this respect is much better off, in a much better position. Because the ani is in a position where he doesn't have much choice. So his chance of going to Chochmas HaTorah is much greater, because he doesn't have the other opportunities. So opportunities and options in life could be very, very bad. Options could be very bad. Because it just it depends on the individual. I mean, if the individual is geared in a way that their desires and chachmas are terror, so then every opportunity just increases that ability. But insofar as the other derech ha'chayim is concerned, I mean, every opportunity is really a negative, because the opportunity allows the person to engage in a world which is a frustrating world, intrinsically frustrating, and away from chachma, and away from the true satisfaction of chachma. So that's why their lives are fraught with problems. And what does the pasuk say? The iveles odom tesalef darko, the el Hashem yizaf libo. I mean, that's really the basic. That's all pasuk. That's really what the Ramban is pointing out of here. Okay. See, that's what the Ramban. That's what I'm trying to point out. The Ramban is trying to tell you when you evaluate the Derech Hashem and the Mishpote Hashem, what the Ramban is trying to tell you is you must look at the whole picture. Now, 99% of the time, most of the time, okay, if a person would follow the real Derech HaTorah and would live that lifestyle, we'd have a wonderful, wonderful life. So a person must realize this is all Chesed Hashem. And this Chesed Hashem in terms of the life that he presented before us and in terms of the Torah that he gave us. So this is a person must be in a state of constant appreciation of that good. I mean, that's what the Ramban is saying. When you evaluate, you see, then that's the way you have to make your evaluation. And 99% of the time, that's the way it works. Okay, that's what the Ramban is saying. So Mishpat Hashem, it should be obvious. In other words, Mishpat Hashem should be obvious. A person should really see Kol Derachav Mishpat, that the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up the world, the institution of Torah, the directive of Torah that he gave us, is really the greatest bracha and the greatest blessing. And if a person partakes of it, he sees how enjoyable and how great his life is. He must be mole simcha. And what was the pasuk? Tachas Hashelo Avadato Asad Hashem Elokecha B'Simcha U'V'Tuv Leivav Meirov Kol. Okay, that's what it means. If a person doesn't have that, it's because they don't have the experience. Why don't they have the experience? Because they were not Mekayim Kedoshim Tehi. If you don't have that experience, then you're going to complain. But the complaints are baseless. The complaints are rooted in the fact that it's Ivelas Ho'odon Tesalev Darko. That's really the source of it. Okay? That's what the Ramban is saying, that's what the Rambam is saying, and that's what Shlomo HaMelech is saying. And that's what the Pasuk Kedosh Shem Tihu is saying. It's all the same idea. The same idea. That basically, for most people, the good is right there in front of them, right there before their eyes, and they're walking away from it. They're going into a world of fantasy and illusion, and a world of pain and frustration, and they're complaining. That's basically what it is. But the truth of the matter is, there are very few people, very, very few people that can honestly say that they didn't have the situation, they didn't have the opportunity, it's not their own doing. Very few people can say that it's not their own doing. Most of the troubles in their life. But most people really recognize, and if they're honest with themselves, see, they really had the opportunity to really live a wonderful existence. And instead of wasting their time running after some kind of a fantasy and illusion, they could have spent the time. How much time they could have spent in learning and ideas and chachma and appreciation and in the true hanoas ha'chaim. As Ramban say, ein simcha kataras asfekis. I mean, that's the greatest simcha, but they threw it away because of a fantasy and illusion. That's the truth. So the tzidduk adin, that's what the Ramban says, is important. Tzidduk adin is very important. The tzidduk adin all over, in general, on a large scale, is obvious to a person that's a chacham. That's what the Ramban says. There are nisyonis of aniyus, there are nisyonis of ashirus. There's different. There's no such thing. We don't hold. I mean, l'avdil goyim hold that way. That the rich man is evil. We don't hold that. We don't hold that way. There's no. An oni is not a tzaddik, and an usher is not a rush. It doesn't work that way. But it's saying that there are certain situations when a person's in a situation of taiva, so their chances of turning to chokhmas haTorah is much less. That's all it's saying. I mean, you see, Klal Yisrael had to become the avodim in order to receive matan Torah. It was very good, the avodim. And he was, they had to be that way. So it doesn't mean that it's the benefit in being in heaven. What it means is certain situations are more conducive. The person has a greater opportunity, a greater chance. But a person that's raised in tithes and the whole lifestyle is one where the good, what is taught to a child is that the good is to pursue specific fantasies, and the great person is the one that can figure out which fantasy is a better fantasy to pursue, and that this becomes the whole ethical, the whole core, and the entire superego of their lives becomes to see which tithe you could figure out is a better tithe. I mean, a person raised in such a lifestyle, you understand, there's very little chance to think about investing their energies in Chachmas HaTorah. I mean, it's a davar pashut. But a person that doesn't have that lifestyle has a better opportunity. Okay, but we're not saying per se that an Ani is the biggest Ani in Russia. That's not true. Okay. Basically, I mean the Pasuk, the Rambam. The Rambam quotes the Pasuk in Mishlei, where he says what a person's proper attitude should be. He says the tzaddik does not want to be an Oshir, and the tzaddik does not want to be an Ani. Pasuk says, Lo Oshir v'lo Rosh tesimeni, Hatrifeni lechem chuki. So the Rambam says that really is the goal of the perfected person. What does it mean? It means to say the person, he doesn't want to have the troubles of poverty, the difficulties of poverty, because that's something which itself is a tragic situation where a person doesn't have his needs. That's a horrible situation. But there's another horrible situation, and that is to be involved in the fantasies of the usher. That is equally tragic. So the Rambam says that pasuk really defines. I forget what the Rambam is. The Rambam in Shmona Prakam, I think, where he says the Rambam Shmona Prakam, where he says that the tzaddik's goal is that pasuk exemplifies how the tzaddik looks at the financial world, the world of money. Lo oshir v'lo rosh tesimeni. I don't want to have the hatrifeni lechem chuki. Give me my daily need. What does it mean? It means to say, it doesn't necessarily mean to say that the tzaddik doesn't want to have money. Doesn't mean that. Because see, many chazal were very wealthy. Remember, Anton was a very wealthy person. Many of chazal were very wealthy. But he means to say that he looks at money only as a person would look at lechem chuki. It means to say there's a gvul. There's a gvul. See, a chok means a gvul. It means to say that somebody asked me recently, said, how do I know if I'm involved in the world? Because the person said, look, I need this, I need that. You know, I mean, to be mitaretz is very easy. You understand? The person wasn't mitaretz. Yeah, look, I need this. It makes me feel good. So now I feel good, so I can learn better. So, I mean, the terutzim, the atzas yetzor, and tachbus yetzor are very sharp. But basically, I would say there is one criterion which, if a person is honest with himself and thinks into it, they will see what world they're in. And that's that pasuk. Lo oshir v'lo rosh tesimeni, hatrifeni lechem chuki. What does lechem chuki mean? Chok means a fixed amount. It means if a person can look at his life and can say, you know, this is really all I need in terms of a home. This is all I need in terms of a car. This is all I need in terms of a suit. This is all I need in terms of the clothing, and a person has a fixed amount where they recognize that I don't want to invest my energies into this area, into these areas beyond this fixed point. You see, that's it. Okay, and that's being based on reality. I mean, you can't say a fixed point. Yeah, he needs a mansion. I mean, now, it must be something based upon reality. In other words, the needs of a human being, in order for a human being to be able to spend this time in machshava, in the world of thought, in the world of ideas. That's what it means. That's what the Rambam says. That's the attitude of the tzaddik. The attitude of the tzaddik is that it's a fixed number, a fixed amount with regard to all the areas of his life. He assesses the areas of taiva, and he says, this is what I need. I don't need anything more than that. And any increase, any financial increase will not really affect the person because he's not going to follow the ability that he has to follow his fantasies to any greater degree. In other words, it's a fixed thing. This is what he needs. He needs a certain amount of conveniences in order to be able to learn, and it's a fixed thing. Once he has that, he realizes that beyond this, he's just getting into the world of fantasy and illusion, and it's taking him away from the true enjoyment of life, which is the Chachmas HaTorah. That's basically what it means. What? Let me just put it this way. I would say immediately, if the person simply feels, I know it's difficult. The first step, I just took the first step. My first step is lechem chuki, which is basically, most people don't have a fixed amount. Most people, if they were able to, or they think at least, people who really are able to find out that's not so, it's not so, such as Avraham Pasha. That the they find out that that basically indulging in these fantasies don't really reap them the benefits they thought, and they usually pull back. But the but the average person, the average individual, really thinks that if they could, why shouldn't I get a better car? And why shouldn't I get a better suit? And why shouldn't I get a better this? And why? And it's endless. Basically, it's infinite. Their feelings towards the enjoyments, towards the pleasures of life, are infinite. Aristotle says that. Because most people's desires are infinite. Anyone in that world is completely outside the realm of the Derech Chaim of Torah. Completely. They have no shaychus to it whatsoever. I don't care how many mitzvahs they do. I don't care what the essence of what the Torah is trying to teach is. They're completely removed from. Completely. The whole Derech Chaim is gone. Okay? I'm not saying that there's no benefit in keeping the mitzvahs. Any mitzvah benefit. But in terms of the Derech HaChaim, is this real Derech HaChaim of Torah? Absolutely, they have no shaychus to it whatsoever. Nothing. The Kedoshim to you is not something which is... You see, what I want to explain to you is that most people think that that's a Midas Chasidus. It's not a Midas Chasidus. It's a Derech HaChaim. The Torah is not the order. I'm just an ordinary person. I don't care to go any higher. That's for a big tzaddik. There's no such thing. Basically, what the Torah is saying is that this Derech HaChaim is the good. So would anybody say, I'm not going to take the good? But a person says, look, I'm just a plain guy. There's $1 million lying in front of me. I just need 1,000. Nobody says that. Why? Because they really think that that's the good. So whenever something's the good, you can't say, this is just me, this chassid is not for me. So basically, the Kedoshim to you, what the Torah is telling you is that this is the good. So if a person could say, it's not for me, that means they don't really believe it's the good. If they don't believe it's the good, you see, so that's the point I'm making. The way that a person could evaluate it, that's your question, how should a person evaluate it? The way the person has to determine the extent of the gvulim has to be based on a rational understanding of what he needs, what the person, he or she needs, in terms of living in order to engage in learning. What else can I tell you? I mean, it's a very simple formula. I mean, what does a human being need? I mean, what are the basic needs of a human being in order to be engaged in Chochmas HaTorah? It should be based on that. I mean, it should be... A person should say, should establish, I would say, a person should establish, first of all, like a baseline, like the minimum I'd need in order to be able to involve them in learning. And then a person could say, okay, if I have a little more in this area, I'll feel a little better. But the Torah doesn't say that you have to live an ascetic existence, but the person has to be able to recognize that if they don't have that little bit, it's not... You see, the point is the mistake that the average person makes is that the person seeks perfection in terms of the taivas and grieves if they don't have that little extra thing. Where in reality, if they think about what difference does it make in their lives, it's very little, minimal, very minimal. In other words, if a person has a car that basically runs. And it's not a luxurious luxurious vehicle. I mean, you're going to say it's going to make a difference in their lives in terms of learning? I mean, be honest. What difference could it make? It can't make hardly any difference. Okay, the person says, "All right, so I can afford a little better car. It makes me feel a little better for me." But the important thing is the way the person looks at the thing, and the most people have regret. And remorse. I could have been driving a better car. So the as if this is the they endow this area with perfection, as if this is an ultimate good, and any missing out in this area is destroying their lives, which is a completely erroneous and ludicrous idea. And they're guided by that. And that's why once a person is guided by that kind of a thing, where the superego becomes the, so to speak, becomes the pleasures and the desires. And I missed out on this. I could have had this little more enjoyment. So what difference would it make? What difference would it make? Nothing. Absolutely zero. But the person missed in what they lost in knowledge and in chachma, that doesn't seem to bother them too much. You see. So the point that the Ramban, the Torah, is making is that most people's whole entire value system is simply corrupt, because it really doesn't make much of a difference if a person lived in a better house or in an inferior house. What difference does it really make? Well, as they have their basic needs and they spent their time in learning, the enjoyment and the pleasure of the learning far outweighs that little difference. I mean, okay, a person sees the taiva is the full of an individual. Shekhar Chayin, and the person is beautiful. Wow. But yeah, but the person lives there for a month, he doesn't even know where he's living. What's the difference? There's absolutely no difference to him anymore. So these things wane, and the loss in terms of the activity of learning is constant. So the point that a person would be able to really figure out very easily what the chok is if they were rational about it. But a person is not rational about it, and therefore they're involved in the endless fantasy and illusion that they're going to really be happier if they have this little more perfection over here, and this perfection, this physical thing, and this other nonsense. And really there's no reality to it. So the person destroys their life based upon, that's really what Kedoshim Tiyu is telling you. Kedoshim Tiyu, Purushim Tiyu is not something which is sitkis, and you have to feel that, oh, now I'm a real big tzaddik. It has nothing to do with being a tzaddik. It has to do with the plan that the Torah is giving you for a good life. That's the mistake that most people make. They look at it as if, oh, this is really for tzaddikim, I'm not on that level, and this is if I do this, I'd be who knows what. That's exactly the opposite of what Torah is telling you. Torah is telling you that this is the best existence, this is the correct way. This is the only way to really achieve a happy existence. And you're not doing God a favor. God doesn't need your mitzvahs. You're doing yourself a favor if you do it. But most people do not see it that way. They see it as if, like in a religious way, as if they're doing God a favor to do this. I'm not ready to do that much. You see? I'm not ready to do that much for God. There's no, that's exactly the opposite of the whole Derech HaTorah. As Ramban says in Dvarim, it's repeated many, many times, that the mitzvahs are for you. The Tov Loch. Not doing God doesn't need our shevach, he doesn't need our mitzvahs, doesn't need anything. It's completely for our benefit. So if a person would realize that that is the way it is, they'd be able to assess very simply in their lives when they have a choice. They'd be able to come to very quickly to the correct assessment of what's going to improve the derech hachayim, the pursuit. A little bit more perfection in the saiva, or more time really to sit and learn and to be involved in chachma satara. Not a difficult thing once the person breaks through the barrier of the illusion of the fantasy of the taiva. I mean, basically, that's kadesh atzmacha b'motelach. But if a person doesn't practice kadesh atzmacha b'motelach, if he doesn't practice it, and that's what Chazal say, a person should practice these things even with regard to achilush siyah. Personal thing, I had a little, even in small things, because small things are really constant things. Person is always this little more, a little perfection in this type of food, that type of food. What if you didn't have it? It make a big difference. It make a difference. So a person has to realize that the kadesh atzmacha b'motelach is a practice that a person should be constantly engaged in order to be in the world of reality and not the world of fantasy and illusion. That's basically what the mitzvah is. The mitzvah is for our benefit. It's the biggest bracha, and a person that follows this way of life has the happiest existence. But instead, people think of it as if it's a very high thing, and as if they're not ready to be such a high level, such a kaddish. So therefore, I just keep the mitzvah, I'm just a plain person. That attitude is completely wrong. Completely wrong. And basically, because people live in the wrong attitude, so ultimately, they complain about their lives. They complain about their lives. Yes. That is true. That's the nature of man. The nature of man is that when a person goes up in their standard of living, going down is painful. That's the nature of man. I mean, a person has to realize also, and has to recognize that if a person doesn't have the means, and they have to be careful. As a matter of fact, it's a pasuk in the Torah. Pasuk Torah says, "Ki yachav Hashem lekecha as gevulcha, v'marta ochlo vasa ki se'ave nafshecha lecho vasa." So Chazal say, what is the Gemara says in Chulin? The Gemara says that what does it mean that limda Torah derech eretz, that a person shouldn't eat basar unless it's a very enjoyable thing. I mean, it's rare. So Rashi says why? Because if he can't afford it, he'll become poverty stricken. The Rambam says, as the Rambam says in Hilchos Deis, it's the same thing. That a person, that's enough for a person to eat meat once a week. So he says, but if a person can afford it every day, so he can eat it every day. What is the Torah telling you? The Torah is basically telling you that an individual should recognize that going down in standard of living is a very painful experience. So be careful, don't go up so quickly, because when you're going up, it's very easy. And once the person goes to a higher standard, it's very hard to go down. So that's why in mitzvah tzedakah, when a person is on a high standard of living, you're mechuyev to support that standard of living. It's very painful for them to go down. But that's a different area. That's an area of chesed for somebody else. It's not an area of advice for a yochid of how to live his life. It's not telling you that the highest standard of living is the best life. It's totally nonsensical. That's what he's saying. He's telling us that the Rabbeinu Nasi raised his pinky and said, Golik Yadula Fonecha, that I didn't enjoy anything of this world. What he meant was that his whole life was involved in Chochmas HaTorah. And everything that everything else, all the instinctual pleasures and satisfactions, he wasn't engaged in at all. I mean, it was only a means for his involvement in Chochmah. As once Rabbeinu Nasi used to walk down the street, he'd be saying Mishnayos Bapa. So Chazim Mishnayos. So that's the kind of but what a person needs, for in order to live that way, if he should deny himself that, that's equally wrong. That's equally wrong. Chazal went to the bathhouses once a week. I mean, certain things you need for the goof. You need though if you abstain from those things, right. That would be wrong. Right. Okay, but that's what Ram says. Ram says that the attitude. The attitude towards money that a perfected person has is expressed in that pasuk. Lo oshir v'lo rush tesimeni. I don't want to be in a situation of need, and I don't want to be in a situation of fantasy. But atrifeni lechem chukia. I just want to feel that I have what I need, so I can expend my energies in chachmas atar. That's basically the attitude of a chacham. So for a chacham, an increase in wealth does not bring the excitement that an increase in wealth would bring for an Am Haaretz. Because for an Am Haaretz, it would be opening up the gate for him to follow all his fantasies. The Chacham has his life mapped out already. The only thing he could do is to perhaps give him a certain amount of security that he can engage in learning more. But it would not bring with it the same reaction as I just mentioned, winning the lottery for an average person. Would be a different experience for a Chacham. Tam Chacham wouldn't make that much of a difference in terms of his personal life, except that it would give him a certain amount of security. You know, okay, I can continue my life. I have less to worry about in the future in terms of my financial needs. But basically, the excitement that the world is looking for in the acquisition of wealth does not exist for the Chacham. That's lo osher v'lo rush tesimeni. The excitement does not exist. Yes. I don't think that a person could be on such a level that he could give more tzedakah will be an exciting tzedakah will be such an exciting thing when he's not mechoyev to give the tzedakah right now. I mean, is he mekayim kol ha'tara kula right now? In psychology, there's a concept of displacement, you know, which means that a person many times doesn't realize they displace energies from one area to another. I would say a person that won the lottery was so excited about giving tzedakah, I would think that they're involved in a little bit of displacement. I don't think that's really the cause of the excitement. If every dollar that they earned was only for tzedakah, I don't think I'd be that excited. In other words, if every dollar that they made in the lottery all went to tzedakah, okay, then they wouldn't be that excited. Or if somebody else gave the tzedakah, would they be as happy if somebody else won the lottery and gave all the money to tzedakah? I don't think so. I really doubt it. I never heard anybody getting excited. That he won. This guy won the lottery. He gave so much duck. What did I have to? I could have won it, but now I don't even have to. Just as happy. It's nonsensical, person. I mean, what did Yaakov say? V'chol asher titen li asar asman alach. So Yaakov means to say, oh, whatever I get, I'll give ma'aser. He wasn't mispalled to have more nechassim and give more ma'aser. I never. Then perhaps the person's under. Then a person may be under another delusion that they're running the world. I mean, that God takes care of the world. I mean, the person's under delusion that he has to win the lottery in order to give tzedakah to save the world. I mean, they're suffering from a delusion. I'm sorry. Yeah. The pasuk. I misquoted the pasuk. It's in Mishle Lamed. It's Reish va'osher Mishle Lamed pasuk. Reish va'osher al titan li hatrifeni lechem chukim. Yeah, there's just one more thing I want to add today before we go back to the Ramban, and that is that there was something that came up in last week's shiur. I saw people were grappling with this problem. Okay, and that is that the way, like for instance, there's a Chazal say imro adam sheyisurin boyin alav yifashvesh b'masav. So the person sees that. He has troubles, so she should examine his deeds. Okay, we'll go into that chazal. It's a very interesting chazal, but I just want to go through the basic idea. And this is something which most people can't get straight. Like, there's certain things that people have a hard time getting straight, like what we mentioned before with regard to Kedoshim Tiyu. Okay? But here's another one. The other one is that the chazal say if a person sees that Yisurin, that troubles are befalling them, so they should look into their lives. So everybody looks at it as if they're going to try to figure out what God's, like last week, what God's doing, okay? What God's doing here, okay? To be able to undo it and get out of the Yisur, okay? That is completely nonsensical, completely antithetical to everything that we know in Torah. Okay, I just want to make this point clear. That what Chazal is saying is, you see, there is God's world, which called Rachav Mishpat, which we could never, ever expect to know. There's no way that anyone could even have an inkling of what the called Rachav Mishpat is. This is something that's beyond us. That's beyond us completely. Okay? But what Chazal is saying is that has nothing to do with the Derech HaChayim that's prescribed for us. Because really there is a big problem. You have called Rachav Mishpat means with God's omniscience, I mean, which the Sechel HaAdam is like a joke. I mean, it's not even possible to have any type of comparison in any way at all. Okay, El Misi Sedam Yuni VaEshva Yom HaKadosh. There's no comparison. So just even if we were just to talk about the facts alone that are available to human beings, the limitation is so great that that he couldn't even be on the scene, just from the facts, not talking about the chokhmah and the ability that man has, which is so limited. It's a reflection of Tzolom Lakim, but in terms of knowledge, it's qualitatively differentiated. And like the Rambam says, in the answer to the kash about how that God knows the future, so the question of Bechira, I mean, the main answer that he gives is that our knowledge is not like God's knowledge, different kind of knowledge. And even causality and causation, which is a clue to gaining insight, is only for man. But God's knowledge is not based on causation. It's a different kind of knowledge. So in all respects, for an individual to think that he can enter the world of called Rachav Mishpat is the greatest absurdity. Nothing can be more like we read last week, nothing can be more meruchak min asechel. It's completely crazy. So if that's the case, so how could we engage in being mefashvesh b'masov? What's the causation of it? Raw and so mefashvesh myself, right? So if we don't understand kol rachav mishpat, so how could this work? How could this help? But the answer is like this. The answer is that God gave us a Derech HaChayim mitzar atzmeno, in spite of the fact that we cannot understand the Kol Rachav Mishpat. But that doesn't mean that God did not give us a Derech HaChayim for us, which is beneficial. The two are not mutually exclusive. Okay? So, Imroa Adam Sheyisurim Bo'in Olav, while it's true that we could never understand, the cheshbon of these isurim, okay, because that's called rachav mishpat, beyond our ken, beyond our ability. Nevertheless, God gave us a method of dealing with it, which is the only appropriate method. So therefore, what I want to mention, this came up last week, that mazos also lekimlanu, okay, does not mean that they're trying to figure out the cheshbon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What it means is like this. What it means is that an individual in this life has to know how to handle, how to deal with an untoward situation. And the way of dealing with it is not to try to figure out the cause in God's eyes. That's totally nonsensical. Lahavdil, go and do that. But our method is that there's a principle that every experience that an individual has, he can use Latov. He can use Latov. How? Because given the system of the good and evil that the Torah set forth for us, reinin l'lilin satlef nechayom esachayim v'samovis esatov esara, so the Torah gave you what the chayim and mavis is, what tov and ra is. If you have an understanding of that, so then the person can utilize every untoward situation to cause him to reflect and to re-examine his life and to improve his life and set him deeper on the proper course. That's really what the idea is. And that's a fact of life. That's a fact of life. Basically, that irregardless of God's cheshbon, which we cannot know, it does not mean that we, in this existence, have no recourse to benefit and gain from untoward events that happen to us in our life. They're not mutually exclusive. In other words, what are Chazal saying? Chazal is saying that a person should take a look at their life when Yisurin Bono Alav, if troubles befall the person should utilize that opportunity to improve and gain knowledge and set themselves more, make the commitment greater and put them in the track more deeply in the true Derech HaHayah. That's the basic underlying idea of the raw Adam Yisurin Alav. Because basically, the idea is that life in general, all the experiences of life are tremendous opportunities that are built into this life for a person to gain in terms of improvement. That's why it's halacha, really. As Gemara says in Kedushin, that they stand that there is a biyachin and everything stood up for an old guy. Why? Because it said, "Kamar patki of alayu." How many experiences did this individual have? How many opportunities did the Mipnei Seva Takin, he said, Mipnei Seva Takin doesn't necessarily mean a great Talmud Chacham. The Seva is any Seva. Why? Because it means that a person that lived through situations and he used it properly, he thought into it properly, so then he gains. The gain from it is unbelievable. So that's what it means. Hareini ad Hashem darkecho and Acheini baruch misha leman shoroi means that experiences should be placed before him that will cause him to gain insight. I mean, and that's basically what Chazal say. Haroa Adam sheyisurim boin alav, so he shouldn't take it in a way like, well, it's because I'm bad and this, I have to pay the penalty and this is, and go into nonsensical cheshbon as if he understands God's cheshbon. No. On the contrary, what he should do is he should use this as an opportunity to re-examine his life and to rethink his value system, re-establish his value system, the correct value system, and through the Yisurim, the person gains a deeper insight into Derech HaChayim, and it's a true gain. So it may be a loss in terms of the instinctual and the physical, but the gain is an unbelievable gain. And that's basically what the Gemara says. And getting back to the Gemara that we started with, the Chazal with Nochem Ish Gamzu. So the Gemara gives a description. And that's really what the message of the saying of it. Because I told you, our system is not an ascetic system. It's a very unbelievable Gemara. And Gemara says about Nochem Ish Gamzu, when he's suffering, going through all that pain. So the Talmidim said to him, They said, "Oy lanu, woe unto us that we see you like this." And he answered them, he says, "No," he says. On the contrary, the other way would have been worse. What does the Gemara mean to say? What the Gemara means to say was that Nochemish Gamzu, through all the Yisurim, gained a certain insight that he never had before in terms of perfection. And that insight, in terms of his chachma and his soul, in terms of his nefesh, in terms of the neshama, you see, that insight and that perfection, he wouldn't give up for anything. That's what it meant. That's what the Gemara means. He says, "Oy lanu in lo risunikach," because he was an individual that all those sorrows that befell him, no matter how painful they were, but the fact is he was able to utilize them to gain insight into perfection that he never would have had. He realized that we don't know what it was exactly. We can't, because we can't go into the minds of people that are greater than us, great tzaddikim, like Nachemish Gamza. We can't go into their minds, but he didn't even tell the Talmidim. But basically there was some insight that he gained that he said he wouldn't, even though he was suffering such tremendous Yisurim, he says he would not give up that knowledge for the Yisurim. In other words, it was worthwhile. It was worthwhile on his level. It was a worthwhile exchange. And that's what Chazal said. That's basically the idea that Chazal is saying. An individual, of course, you're talking about tzaddikim, as I said. I mean, the Gemara is giving you an exaggerated example for us in the form of Nochemish Gamzu. But the idea is an idea that we can all apply to our own lives. Namely, that an individual has an opportunity, has a choice, to take Yisurim. He could either be Boit be Yisurim, he could be angry about the Yisurim and complain, or he could use it to give him some insight into Emes. And an individual that values the Emes will find that certain things that everybody else would look at as a horrible situation, this individual can find in that situation an insight and a value that is far greater in reality, if he's on the level, than what people think. In terms of their value system, they would think it's a loss. For him, it's a tremendous gain. That's basically what the Gemara is saying about Nochemish Gamzu. And Nochemish Gamzu gained a tremendous insight, and he wouldn't give it up in spite of those Yisurim. And that's what Chazal is saying. They're showing you his level, which of course for us is impossible to conceive of, because we're not on that level. But nevertheless, for him, it was something that was attainable, and it was attained. And the idea, however, why did Chazal tell us that story? If it's not for us, the answer is because the idea is correct. And the idea is that if a person uses Yisurim in the proper manner as an instrument to gain knowledge, a person doesn't realize what an opportunity it could be. And that's why he says, "Oy lachem lo risunikach." It would be much worse because the insight was worth it. That's what he said. On his level, it was worth it. His neshama was worth it. That's what Chazal told us. Yes.
What was the reason why?
Mida keneged mida means we'll go into the Chazal next week when we continue. We'll have to go into the Chazal of Yefashish Masa of mida keneged mida. I mean, there's a lot to be analyzed. Okay, I just want to reemphasize the idea that the mitzvos, are the greatest value. Insofar, but only if a person recognizes their proper role and what their function is. But if a person distorts that role, in other words, a person thinks that they can forget about the objective and just somehow or other doing these activities are going to benefit them, then of course it doesn't work. But if the person understands what the role of the mitzvahs are indispensable. I mean, that should be clear. What I mentioned last week, what Chazal say, Kadesh Atzmacha B'Mutalach, okay, so, and Ramban says that's really the whole Kedoshim to you. That's the whole idea of the Kedoshim to you. which means to say that, and this is all part of the God system of justice. You have to include the Derech HaChaim, the way of the Torah, the natural things that benefits that result from living that kind of a life. I mean, that's all part of God's system. It's not. I mean, that's what the Ramban really is showing, that in judging the and the Rambam, basically the Rambam, that in getting an understanding, gaining an understanding of God's mishpat, you have to look at the whole picture. And while there are areas that are stumim, that we can't understand, but nevertheless, all that we can understand, we have to marshal all the knowledge that we have in the areas that we understand in order to have a picture of God's din, and then the rest is nilmot sasim and amafurish. In other words, that we see, just like we see God is just in every area that we understand. So the small part that we don't understand, we know as well, is just. But we have to see the big picture. That's the approach of the Rambam and the Ramban. And part of that approach is that the Derech HaChaim, a person cannot expect to encounter good results if he doesn't really follow the plan of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which he gave us through the Torah. So that would be definitely... If a person, by not following the plan, meets with disaster, that certainly is not a question of whether God is just or not. I mean, it has nothing to do with it. I mean, he himself has brought it upon himself. Okay, because God gave the solution at Sinai. He had it available to him, and he didn't make use of it. So, I mean, so now he can't complain and say, this is a problem, that how could God do this to me? Okay, essentially, that's the Rambam, really, the Rambam in the Mora, where he shows that most problems that people have are of their own doing, okay, in life, in general. And that if a person really were to look into his life really carefully, the person would find that most of the time, really, not just most, but predominantly, the problems that the individual has in life are really their own doing. The point is that the reason why people don't see that is because they don't really want to look in that direction, and sometimes they don't know how to look in that direction. All right?
I thought you said previously that a person can't look
inside. In our society, the prevailing attitude is that to feel that you're a victim, that you're victimized. You're always a victim of your own emotions. That's the prevailing attitude. It's always everything that a person does. I mean, no matter how harmful it is, they're always a victim. Like if they drink too much, they're suffering from alcoholism. If they eat too much, they're suffering from obesity. They're always suffering from something, as if it's not their fault. But this thing is attacking them for some reason, you know, and that's really that's the prevailing attitude in our society, that we're victims of we're always victims. So by the same token, you could say a murderer is a victim too. He's a victim of his murderous rage. I mean, the idea reaches complete absurdity. Of course, society doesn't. You know, society is very selective. It's like one philosopher one time said, like. Gave an example of poor philosophy. Poor philosophy is you choose different reasons in different places. You know, like when it comes to a murderer, so it doesn't emotionally sound too appealing to say he's a victim. So there you say he's really an evil person. But he's a product of society and he's a victim. Everybody's a victim. No one is responsible for it. There's no responsibility. But that's basically a very popular kind of attitude in our society, that everybody's suffering from something. We're not responsible for anything. So this is completely against Yahadus, of course. And that's the pasuk. Yivela saw them to salif darko v'alad Hashem yizaflibo. It's an old idea. It's a modern implementation, but it's basically an old idea. That Val Hashem Yizaflibo, what does it mean? It means I'm a victim. It's a God did this to me. But this is what?
Only God is to blame.
Correct. Well, that's the same thing. Society is to blame this one, but the whole idea is a removal of responsibility from the person insofar as his bechira is concerned. But most of the difficulties that people have, personal difficulties, whether it's marriage or children or in most areas, I would say that people, if they really traced it back, they would find that the results are stem from their own doing. It's not, as I said, it's against the popular trend, and people do not like to hear this kind of a thing. But basically, I think that it's pretty hard when you look at it rationally, and you see really what man is and the decisions that he makes and how he makes the decisions, that most of the time, I say most, I'm not talking about 70%, I mean 99% of the time, the problems that a person encounters in life are their own doing. Whether it's personal relationships, as I said, marriage or children or friends or financial, whatever it is, it's usually traceable to the person's own doing. It's an amazing thing. But people do not want to take that route. It's a very unpopular course. So that's why people do not want to take that route, because they don't want to blame themselves, and therefore they're always victims. That's the prevailing attitude of the Hamon Ham. Okay, yeah. But one of the things that Yehadus tells us that we must implement in order to have a good life is Kadesh Asmacha B'Motalach, and that's what we spoke about last week. Namely, that a person must be able to make a careful evaluation before the person participates in pleasure. Okay, it's not, this again is counter to the prevailing attitude of the Hamonah, namely, that if you can afford it, why not? Why shouldn't you ride in a better car? Why shouldn't you have a better house? Why shouldn't you enjoy everything a little more? There's nothing wrong. All this enjoyment is good. That's the prevailing attitude of the Hamonah. And Yehada says exactly the opposite. Kadesh Asmacha B'Motalach. That a person must be able to evaluate and say, no, this is not good for me, because I'll be investing energies in an area which will take me away from Chochmas HaTorah, and I'm much better off not indulging in this enjoyment, in this pleasure. But our society, again, is a society which really endorses the attitude that everything and every pleasure and every enjoyment that feels good must be good. Is good. The good is determined by how something feels initially. That's the prevailing attitude of our society, of the non-thinking society. And this is definitely a non-thinking society. So the very few people really would, as a matter of fact, if somebody, you understand yourself, if somebody would have a conversation with somebody else and say, I can afford this car, but I'm not going to purchase the car. I say, why not? Because I don't think I really want to invest that much energy in that area. I'd rather invest it in thinking. Personally, they think this person's insane, basically. Something wrong with them. Not well. I mean, the attitude is so strong that if a person speaks or thinks rationally, they sound crazy. Okay? But that's what we must understand. That is exactly connected the Shita Siyahadus, the Kadesh Asmacha B'Motalach. Kadesh Asmacha B'Motalach is exactly what it means. It means that if you cannot do that, so then you have no place in perfection. If a person thwarts perfection, they can't complain later in life that they have difficulties and troubles. Okay? Now, in this area of Kadesh Asmacha B'Motalach, it's a wide area. The Rambam explains, the Rambam says, speaks about it in terms of the doing just actions. Doing just actions, virtuous deeds, virtuous actions and just actions. And he says that he says in paragraph V, in the Shmona Prokim, that the only way to achieve this is through practice, is through doing. And it means to say that a person must train themselves. Where's Lashon Ram? The Ram says basically in one sentence. V'dai says, She'elu, after he discusses what is the proper way of living, how a person should control himself and should always be in the middle, so to speak, So they shouldn't really overindulge. On the other hand, they shouldn't partake of an ascetic type of existence either. Okay. So the Rambam says v'dash elu hamaylos v'aprisuyos hashel amidos lo yagidu v'lo yisyashvu banefesh rak b'chfol ha'pulos habos min amido hi pomim rabos uvizman oroch v'aregilus bohen. Okay, so the Rambam says that it requires, in order for a person to become perfected in terms of virtuous state, it requires a lot of work, requires a lot of repetition over a long time, and a continued involvement in the in that type of a life. So apparently the Rambam holds there's three stages. I mean, in other words, first it must be you do repetition, then it must be over a long period of time, and then there must be a continued surveillance, so to speak, over the situation. Okay, so the Rambam really says in the beginning of it, in his Akdama, he says that the things that he derived in these prakim come from many sources. Secular sources. He didn't want to mention the names because he knew that people's reaction to names is not a good one. So therefore he said, I won't mention who it is, but he says, Shema ha'emes mimi shamra, listen to the truth from whomever says it. So this particular area is really found in Aristotle and Aristotle's ethics. And Aristotle in his ethics writes pretty clearly, I mean, the same notion, the same idea. And but he involves it in a certain problem, in a logical problem. Okay, now what we have from Aristotle is either his own notes, or else it's a student's notes. So that's why, I mean, when you read Aristotle, it's very difficult a lot of times to make him out, because the Rambam already spoke about it, and the difficulties in understanding Aristotle. But I think actually in this particular case, it's an interesting thing. If you listen, if you see the way, you may even learn how to decipher what he writes. But he deals with this problem. He apparently he lectured on this problem, and he deals with the problem. But you see the way he deals with it, he presents a certain problem. It involves a certain difficulty, which he resolves. Okay, so if you just have a little patience, I think it's worthwhile to listen to what he says and what he's getting at. Okay, it's very interesting. It's Nicomachean Ethics. It's Book 2, Chapter 4. Okay? He says like this. He says, the question might be asked what we mean by saying that we must become just by doing just that. I mean, that's what the Rambam is saying. It must be regulus. Must be regulus, okay? And temperate by doing temperate acts. It's the Rambam. For if men do just and temperate acts, they are already just and temperate. Exactly as if they do what is in accordance with the laws of grammar and of music, they are grammarians and musicians. Okay? Or is this not true even of the arts? It is possible to do something that is in accordance with the laws of grammar. It is possible that it is in accordance with the laws of grammar either by chance or at the suggestion of another. A man will be a grammarian then only when he has both done something grammatical and done it grammatically. And this means doing it in accordance with the grammatical knowledge in himself. Okay, I mean, like I said, the Lashon is Megumgum. But basically, his question is like this. His question is that how can you say, he says, this idea, and this is the idea that Rambam presents, that's the only conclusion, namely, that in order to be just, you have to do, in order to be temperate, in order to be just, in order to be virtuous, you have to do virtuous actions. So he says, but that presents a logical problem. Why? Because how could you say a person acted justly? Is it possible? In other words, you're saying, it's a circular reasoning. Because you're saying that in order to be just, you have to do just actions. But in order to do just actions, you have to be just. Isn't it true that a just person is a person that does just actions? So how could you possibly say that a person must become just through the repetition of just actions? That would imply that when he first does it, there's something lacking. Because he's saying he doesn't reach justice until the third or fourth, action. He needs a repetition. So that would mean his first actions are either they are just or they're not just. If they're just, so he's just already. And if they're not just, so then he's not doing just actions. Mamonoshach. Okay? This is the question that Aristotle raised. It's a good question, huh? Good question. In other words, it is illogical, basically, his argument is, to say that you become what the Rambam is saying, namely, that you become virtuous through doing virtuous actions is impossible. Because Mamonoshach. If you are virtuous already, so then you don't have to become virtuous. If you're not virtuous, so it will come out that a non-virtuous person did a virtuous action, which would seem to be impossible. So the whole thing is circular. That's basically the problem that he raised. Okay, I think it's important to raise the problem, because I think that if you don't raise the problem, you just take the Rambam, you know, he says in his Akdama, he says, he gleaned the conclusions from many great thinkers. Many great thinkers at large, secular thinkers. But it's important to understand the thinker, in terms of the problems that the idea involves as well, because if you're lacking in a full understanding of it, you're lacking in knowledge of the of what the Rambam is talking about. Sometimes the Rambam is too brief for us. For him it may have been fine. But in whatever way we can enlarge the scope of the situation and gain more knowledge, I think it's extremely important that we do. This is basically the problem. Okay, this is the problem Aristotle raised. Okay? Okay, then he continues, all right? Again, the case of the arts and that of the virtues are not similar. Should I quote the whole thing? All right, again, the case of the arts and that of the virtues are not similar. For the products of the arts have their goodness in themselves, so that it is enough that they should have a certain character. But if the acts that are in accordance with the virtues have themselves a certain character, it does not follow that they are done justly or temperately. The agent also must be in a certain condition when he does them. In the first place, he must have knowledge. Secondly, he must choose the acts and choose them for their own sakes. And thirdly, his action must proceed from a firm and unchangeable character. These are not reckoned in as conditions of the possession of the arts, except the bare knowledge. But as a condition of the possession of the virtues, knowledge has little or no weight, while the other conditions count not for a little, but for everything. That is to say, the very conditions which result from often doing just and temperate acts. I don't have to show you, it's very confusing. Okay? Yeah. But here's an important point. I think in the end he says... So he says, actions then are called just and temperate when they are such as a just or temperate man would do. Well, okay. No one's going to argue with that one. But it is not the man who does these that is just and temperate, but the man who also does them as just and temperate men do them. It is well said then that it is by doing just acts that the just man is produced, and by doing temperate acts, the temperate man. Without doing these, no one would have been a prospect of becoming good. So, very. Okay. Yeah, basically, I tell you, what I can put together from his notes is the following. You see, he was comparing two realms. One realm is the realm of knowledge, like a grammarian. He cannot say a person is a grammarian if he happened to say a sentence properly. It was an accident, okay? Or if he even has like a certain vague intuition about what the proper expression of the sentence, how it should be, has a feeling for it, let's say. That's not a grammarian. A grammarian is a person who really knows grammar, and when he makes a decision as to the sentence structure, it's based upon his knowledge. That's clear. Okay. That you have that sphere on one side. But on the other side, you can ask a question. Let's say, for instance, in the arts. Let's say a musician. So the question is, how does a musician learn how to play? So over there we say, you have to play. Okay, how does a person learn how to play tennis? He must engage in the practice of tennis. So over there, that principle really does work. Namely, that the way you become a good tennis player is by playing good tennis. Okay, and it's not circular for the simple reason that the action, when you first start playing, the action has a certain character. So when you first start playing, so what you do is the brain notices that certain aspects of the action are good in accordance with the character of what you're trying to do, and certain aspects are not. Okay? So if the person makes a proper move, the brain endorses it. An improper one, it kind of gives a negative signal. And the next time, what it does is it retains or attempts to retain the positive aspects of the things that have that character and negates those things that don't. And that's how you keep on improving. Okay? Because what you keep on doing is every time you do it again, you retain the positive and you cancel out, you try as much as you can to negate that which is not, doesn't have that character. Okay? So that's how a person becomes a good musician or a good tennis player. In that sphere, it is true. You see, in that sphere, it is true that the way you become